rather negotiate with North Korea and then recognize North Korea as a nuclear power and so treat it so and not treat it with disdain as is being done in the international system.
Well, but diplomacy to negotiation is what many people are calling, but Kim Jong has said that U.S. president is bereft of ideas and so he's not ready to engage in diplomatic talks with that person. So where does that leave us?
Well, I don't think it is only North Korea. Trump's policy also is not to negotiate with what? North Korea. No, North Korea has other problems. For example, food insecurity or food scarcity. And it have a lot of what suffering in its country. And over the years, if you do analysis of its foreign policy, if any time that it raises the bar of this nuclear threat, what happens is that the rest of the world, particularly Japan, China, and the U.S. and South Korea, goes there and they negotiate. And when they negotiate, they are able to give them food. They are able to give them other forms of what developmental needs that they need. And a lot of Western politicians have realized that this is now a ploy. And so to say, Trump's policy is that we are not going to what reward any form of what arrogancy or, let's say, a threat that is coming from there. But where issues have reached, the United States of America, particularly under Trump, has made a lot of false steps. It was about 4 months ago when they had moved a number of troops and Trump announced that they were actually going to show their might to North Korea. Then later on it was realized that these plane carriers or aircraft carriers were actually going to Australia for an exercise. So it's kind of like kind of loose talk that is equally coming from Trump. And a lot of people are calling on him that where the issue have reached, the two sides have to negotiate. Now, what is important here is that the pride of the two nations are at stake. What is important in diplomacy now is that a middle state, for example, like Norway, Sweden, Finland, who are not superpowers in the international system, have to negotiate with the United States of America and negotiate with North Korea and bring the two parties together so that they can judge off instead of war. But then issues are being fluid in the sense that they are happening so rapid that nobody is able to keep track of them or know what actually is going to happen next. But Japan, for example, is very much worried. And what is generating is that the U.S. is carrying out again a foreign policy by sending missile detectors and all kinds of things to South Korea and a number of places that China feels that it is not these missile defense systems are not necessarily to defend South Korea against Korea, but then it is a way of what? Shoring up U.S. strength against China. So the puzzles are many and issues are, but what is most important here is that just about a few days ago, 3 days actually, we had an anniversary of Hiroshima bombing and Nagasaki. And if you've seen what has happened at those two places, that was the first generation type of nuclear bomb which happened some years ago. Then you are worried that with the new generation of what? Nuclear weapons that we have that are sometimes over 100 times more destructive than the earlier one used, then the human race, the world has to be concerned. And what is important here is that no country is too far away from the center of this activity, and the world at large must be concerned.
So, Doug, as we speak, reports are that China has positioned up to 150,000 of its troops along its border with North Korea. And so fears are that if U.S. is striking, China might not stand idle to watch. Are we heading for a possible war?
Not necessarily. That when China is positioning troops along its border, the danger another concern for China is that if there is any trouble in North Korea, Korean citizens are going to rush into China. And as we know already, as we are experiencing in Ghana, there are already thousands of Chinese in Ghana, everywhere in the world that you go now, so many Chinese. And their population is a problem to them, to that extent that they even had one couple, one child policy, so that their population can be managed. So they are very much concerned of any form of escalation that will make the population of North Korea run to China. This is the main reason why they are having their troops there. But then at the same time, as you have pointed out, that is a secondary issue. Should any missile, for example, in time of what, fight between the two countries, fall on China, then China has to take a decision whether to retaliate or not to retaliate. So these are the issues that are at stake.
Right. Doc, we are very grateful for your time and the education. Thank you very much, Doc. Dr. Ken Ahosu is a senior research fellow at the Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages here. Razak in Gulun Kumbungu District's NPP SMS group organizer says, if only it helps the students to pass very well, then it is highly welcome. May the good Lord help President Akufo-Addo to deliver. Mashud Kukum Tamale, NPP SMS Group President. Hi, George. One district, one factory is a good initiative, and it will provide jobs for the youth. Abdullahi Santani, Tonlon District in the Northern Region, says, I think the education minister's plans to extend the teaching hours is a good one, but they should also increase teacher salaries accordingly to motivate them to teach. May Allah grant President Akufo-Addo wisdom to deliver. Going into war with North Korea is not the best idea. Dialogue, Mr. Trump must be very careful. Delano Impediasi sent in that one. Good evening, George. The NPP government cannot do anything good for Ghanaians. We will surely show them come 2020. Bonga Mini in Wa East District sent in that. King Lamte Rashid in Wenchi says the teaching hours are needless. They are disadvantages for both rural and urban students. Abdullahi Karim from Wenchi Zongo says the one district, one factory policy will go a long way to help minimize the unemployment rate, if not solve it at all. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Moving on to other stories. The one district, one factory policy under the government National Industrial Revitalization Program is designed as a comprehensive program for rural industrialization driven by the private sector. It involves a setting up of at least one medium to large scale factory in one of the administrative districts of the country. It is aimed at creating massive youth employment, especially in rural and peri-urban communities, to stimulate economic activities in different parts of the country, enhance the production of local substitutes for imported goods, and promote export, as well as increase foreign exchange earnings. According to the 2017 budget statement, the One District, One Factory policy has the potential of transforming the industrial landscape of the country and significantly contribute to its socioeconomic development. It is estimated that more than 350,000 direct and indirect jobs will be created from all parts of the country as a result of the implementation of the program. Tonight on Behind the News, we're looking at this particular policy and how far we have gone with it. I have in the studio the head of public relations at the One District, One Factory Secretariat, Abraham Kwesi Jesse. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, George. But quickly, the name is Abraham Kwelku Jesse.
Kwelku Jesse. Yes, thank you very much. Right. Well, Abraham, so far, how far with the One District, One Factory?
All right, thank you very much once again, and a very good evening to you and your cherished audience. Let me first start by reiterating the point that the President, His Excellency Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, is very committed to fulfilling all his promises. Indeed, the government and then every individual or official in his government is poised to doing their best to ensure that at the end of the day, Ghana works. Ghana must work again. And that is our core mandate. And for that matter, what I can tell you is that the One District, One Factory program is really, really coming on. Indeed, very, very soon, we are going to launch the program, Cut the Sword, and then pave way for the construction of the factories.
When you say soon, people are interested.
Indeed, yes. I know, because the anticipation is very high. Sure. But I do not want to jump the gun. But what I can tell you is that, look, George, the truth of the matter is that establishing factories is not just a one-day thing. It's a whole lot of things, or we have a complicated issues that you have to deal with. Indeed, history tells us that we've seen factories that have been rushing to, and today they are no more in existence. And even they are not even finding their food, those that are in existence. So since day one, the president has made sure that all the necessary input that must be put in place will be available to ensure that once the districts emerge, once the factories emerge, they will stand the test of time for posterity to what benefit.
So are we going to have the sword cutting done before the year ends?
Of course. And we are going to even see the construction of almost 50 to 51 factories by the end of this year. You see, George, the truth of the matter is that you must get the framework of these factories well. You must get to the true direction.
Do we have that? Do we have the framework?
Yes, and that is one thing Ghanaians must know, that since day one, from January to now,
you've been working on it.
That has been the main issue. The chief of staff herself has been at the helm of affairs, and we all know the vice president moving up and down to ensure that all the necessary input, the national coordinator who has the secretariat, has been so marvelous.
So we are done with feasibility studies.
We are done, and we are still doing that. Let me tell you, as it stands now, we have received over 400 business plans. And what we do is that once we receive, and we are still receiving indeed, and once we receive, we have a team of experts that sit with you. We engage the entrepreneurs. We go to the field to visit it, to see that everything is in place and how best this government can facilitate. Then we leave that to local partners that are in the financial institution, that is the local partner banks. They also do their due diligence, and then we endorse for the construction of the factories. So it is not just a one-day thing. And since January, we've been engaging in these processes. And what we are saying is that now, God being so good, the time is due for us to cut the sword, launch the program, and then see the factories being constructed. But the most important thing is that we are going to see the construction of these factories by stages. This year we have a number of factories, as I've already said, 51. Next year we have another set of factories. Next 3 years we may have. And then by the 4 years, the actual covenant that His Excellency and the MPP government have with the very good people of Ghana is that we must wake up.
So how representative will be the first 50? This is a national platform. People are listening to you from Boko.
Of course.
Are they going to get theirs this year?
I wouldn't want to jump the gun, as I've already stated. Okay. But I think the most important thing is that the underlying concept or spirit
will get 50. But they will be scattered across the country.
George, yes. You see, what the point I wanted to make is that the underlining concept under this whole program is that the national what spirit.
Okay.
Everything that we do must have a national what outlook, and that is really guiding us. So every part of this country, as the president has said, 216 districts will have 216 factories. Everybody will have.
I know the president will be cutting short for a factory, cement factory in Tema.
Yes.
Any moment from now.
Yes.
Is that going to be part of this, or that's just bonus?
What is bonus here?
An additional one.
What is bonus here? Indeed, the president is going to cut so many for these factories to what emerge. Indeed, the massive support that this whole program has seen is so overwhelming.
So what's going to be the nature of the factories?
That is a very good question. Now, we want to be very truthful to ourselves. We are not looking at extremely big, complicated factories.
Okay.
We are actually looking at the SMEs, the small and medium-scale enterprises. But the most important thing is that we are looking at factories that will meet the objectives of this whole concept.
Then I'm sure the word enterprise will not be ideal here.
When you say enterprise, what is your understanding?
I mean, an enterprise will be something too small.
No, that is why it is important that this whole program sees the day of light, so that it will scale up most of these small and medium scale businesses. So we are not really looking at relatively larger companies, because that may bring huge burdens.
Okay.
But what we are looking at is that at the end of the day, whatever factory that we may establish in the local area shall give jobs to the people.
But an enterprise, that we know cannot employ so many people. If you're talking of an enterprise, say in J-Mark in Tampa South, how many people
George,
can it take?
I think I understand where your confusion is. I said you asked what are the businesses we are looking at.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that
the nature of the factories.
The nature of the factories are not going to be big factories. They're going to be small and medium sized factories.
That can employ at least how many people?
That can employ at least with immediate job employment or direct ones. We are talking about 1,000
wow.
and above.
But that shouldn't be a small one.
Of course, we have small ones like that have that capacity, direct and indirect. We are looking at businesses that can also employ close to 1,500. But at the end of the day, we want the whole program to be able to have that capacity to employ 1.5 to 3 million people nationwide.
Already we have disabled factories and yes. Non-functional factories in the system. What becomes their fate?
Beautiful. Now, what the president is doing right now is that if you recall the budget, we stated that the Ministry of Trade has a stimulus package, and that package is to revamp the already existing businesses but collapsing. So that is a very important or monumental thing to really address this problem. Now, under the district industrialization or one district, one factory, we are also looking at businesses of that nature that when we come and support, will have that capacity to up or scale up their businesses to meet the objectives. And let me just take some few minutes to state the objectives. One, job creation is very critical. Job creation is very critical here. So we are looking at businesses that when we support, will be able to offer job opportunities to the people of this country. We are also looking at businesses that will add value to our natural resources. And God being so good, we are blessed as a country with so many natural resources, even when we talk about farm produce. So we are looking at businesses that will really add value to our natural resources, businesses that can also give us import substitute products, so that we cut the number of product that you always import into this country for consumption. We're also looking at businesses that are oriented when it comes to export-oriented businesses, so that we can also export some of our products for foreign exchange. So these are the main objectives of the program, and that is where we are really focusing, supporting businesses to meet these targets.
You talked of these factories being having national outlook.
Yes.
And that implies that you should be in the position to satisfy every Ghanaian.
Of course.
If you are establishing a mango factory in Kintampo, I'm not too sure it's going to be that national in focus, because the chartered accountant might not, so many of them might not be needed there. So are you going to look at the nature of a community, the demand in terms of jobs, the people to be attracted, or
you before just, we start before, establish the factory?
Yes, before the nature
indeed,
of the factory.
Let me state this clearly. The government and the secretariat is not in charge of imposing factories onto the people in the community. We have said that we are liberalizing this whole concept. Our economy must be liberalized so that the private sector will lead this whole drive. So the president has stated this categorically or emphatically clear that this whole concept or program will be driven by the private sector. So what is the reality now is that we have received over 400 business plans and still counting. And the truth of the matter is that through a quick perusal or detailed analysis of these business plans, coincidentally, unfortunately, we have been able to identify most of these business plans coming from individual districts. So out of the 400 and over business plans, we can apportion each of the business plans to a district. So that one is already, they're not directly coming from the government as an imposition. But what behooves upon the government to do, or the secretariat to do, is that we go to the field, assess that business plan that we think meets the objectives of this program, see what the government can do, and then make it a reality.
So these plans, are they coming from locals or foreigners?
The business plans.
Those that are coming, are they Ghanaians?
Ghanaians. And the businesses are going to be owned by Ghanaians. I think what will actually be the role of foreigners will that they'll partner the creation or the establishment of the factories. So indeed, we have the CMBM $2 billion facility, where we know that the Chinese are coming to support this whole industrialization drive by building and equipping the factories that will be endorsed, and that may be that may pass through or meet all the demands of the stages that have been set aside, yes, for the factories. That is one. Not only that, we are going to also equip them with the capital expenditure, the operations, operational costs, to ensure that the businesses be on their feet for posterity to judge. Now, the interesting thing is that, George, this $2 billion facility gives me personally the impression how serious the MPP government, led by His Excellency President Nana Addo Akufo-Addo, been accepted by the people, how the magnitude of the goodwill that this government has, both local and what international. Now, I'm saying this because when you check this whole $2 billion facility, it is unprecedented, the terms in it. Now, every factory that will benefit from this facility will be built and equipped by the Chinese on a 10-key basis. So all that the beneficiary will do is that you are given the key and you start operating.
So what becomes our contribution from government of Ghana? How much are we setting aside?
Now, the government of Ghana, even through the budgetary allocation, now under the secretariat has 246 million to facilitate this whole program. Now, the role of the government actually is to ensure that first, if you have a factory, then you must consider inputs like roads, because the operations of the factories must be very smooth. So there must be easy access to the factories, distribution of what farm produce, even the distribution of what raw materials. So the government must make sure that if we identify a site that we must have a factory and the roads are not good, the roads must be fixed. Also, the quality and constant supply of electricity, water, capacity building, ensuring that we have a strong ag growers scheme that will feed into the factories. And these are the areas where the role of the government and any financial commitment that the government will make will go into.
Well, let me go to the phone lines and come. I know there's a special development division of the
President Special Initiatives.
Yes, I want to find out the relationship between that and then what you are doing, because it's also a very important.
It's a very simple.
Well, I have Abu Kasangbata. He is on the line and he's the acting executive director of the Savannah Development Think Tank. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, George, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
Well, your operational, your catchment area, what are some of the possible factories that can be sited there?
Well, let me say, the organization is Savannah Development Policy Think Tank.
Right.
Let me also say a very good evening to your resource person. Well, I think that in the northern Savannah ecological zone, factories, there are a lot of defunct factories in the Savannah ecological zone. Especially, you have the cotton industry and the palogo tomato industry and other shea butter industries in the northern part of Ghana or the Savannah ecological zone. These are some of the defunct factories that was established by previous government in the northern part of Ghana to accelerate economic growth and improve the living standard of the chiefs and people of the northern part of Ghana or the Savannah Ecological Zone, and also contribute to the economic growth and development of the country as a whole.
So proposals are pouring in for factories to be set up. Are you aware of any of such from your operational areas?
Yes. Because, you know, industrialization strategy in the country is very important. It involves the processing, and the greater proportion of our gold, cocoa, crude oil, and other raw materials in the country locally is something that we need to tap and add value. You know, we describe it as a value chain process. In the northern part of Ghana, well, I have not seen the blueprint for the Ministry of Trade. I haven't seen it. But I believe that agro-processing industries in the northern part of Ghana are numerous. You have people who are into shea butter extraction, people who are into granite paste, you have people who are into tomato production, you have people who are into cotton production, you have people who are into yam production, you have people who are into soya production. So, you know, in the northern part of Ghana, especially within the Sahelian belt, is being perceived as the hub of agricultural development in the northern part of Ghana.
Well, but one district, one factory secretariat is saying that it wants these factories to be national in character and be owned by the people, driven by the private sector. And you are part of the actors. How positioned are you and like-minded organizations to support this project?
George, we are willing and we are prepared to cooperate and work effectively with the government, indeed, if the government engage stakeholders, civil society organizations, and other relevant actors to ensure that the industrialization policy promised by the government are achieved.
All right.
Now, in the northern part of Ghana, it is very relevant for us to know that one district, one factory policy is a brilliant policy. It's an industrialization, even in Koma, if you go for the CPP policy about industrialization, it's very important. I've listened to your resource person. He said this year they're going to implement 51 districts. I'm hoping that out of the 51, we are targeted to get at least not more than 15 districts in the northern part of Ghana, because we need, you know, in the northern part of Ghana, we are really deprived.
Okay.
In terms of the poverty indicators or indices, we are really, really, really deprived. So we think that if we want to espouse and develop the country, the marginalized economy, society, ought to get chunk of these industries.
All right.
End of the year.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful. Unfortunately, our time is running up. Abu Kasambata is the acting Executive Director of the Savannah Development Policy Think Tank. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Back to you. You've heard that it appears that you're getting support from a lot of people.
Of course. And as I said earlier, the readiness of the Ghanaian community to support this program is so, so overwhelming. Even the private sector, the Association of Ghana Industries, brilliant contribution to this whole program. Even this 2 billion Chinese facility, if I may add to this, was led by the private sector, major players in the private sector economy, to ensure that the government support the private sector to bring this 2 billion facility to support this program.
So what's the relationship between your secretariat and the Special Development Initiative of the government?
It is a very simple relation. The One District, One Factory Secretariat is under the office of the President.
Okay.
And this secretariat is to facilitate the whole implementation of this project. Now, the Ministry of President Special Initiative has about four major components. We have the SADA, we have the 1 million dollars, one constituency. We have the one village, one town. We have the one district, one factory. All these components come together to form the ministry. And the ministry just play a regulatory body or role. But the actual secretariat or institution that oversees the implementation of this program is the one district, one factory.
Well, our time is running. Let me take your final words on this whole thing, how people should... What should be the role of the people in getting these things done? In fact, your final words.
My final words are that, first, Ghanaians should continue to stay optimistic. And that is very, very important. And we should also see this whole program as a nationalistic program. It may surprise you that some of these business projects or plans that you have received come from even people that we know from the other political divide or side of our landscape. It is so interesting. Everybody should come on board. Now, I am also giving a word of encouragement to our traditional leaders. They have been very marvelous. So far, so good. Every traditional leader wants development for the people. And for that matter, they are ready to give their maximum support. So what we say is that they should continue to exhibit that good character. At the end of the day, Ghana must work. The president must deliver, and he's delivering. So all that we want Ghanaians to do is to stay optimistic, have belief and faith in the government, and we shall surely make Ghana work again.
Well, thank you very much for your time in our studio. If I had the opportunity, I would have said I should be a pastor to win souls for Christ. Thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Coming
You're
to
welcome.
The studio. I've been talking to Abraham Kweku. Jesse, he is the public relations officer at the One District, One Factory Secretariat. Some of your text messages. AU Farouk in Tamale says, in fact, the call for extension of closing hours of the basic schools by the education minister is totally unacceptable. Government upon government are trying with our education system. Where are the technocrats? They should speak up. That is a good idea by the Minister of Education, Victor in Cape Coast, says so. Ernest, I in Kaliu, Upper West, says the implementation of One District, One Factory is in the right direction because people in northern Ghana are patiently waiting for this vision and promising President Nana Akufo-Addo and his government to do more. Hi George, good evening. Ask the president, when will his government complete the teachers' arrears own? Joshua from Bazuo Binduri. Please, teachers cannot become busy babysitters. The minister should let expert decide for him. From Tadon Nasagen Samuel, assembly member for Tina Gary. Good evening, Mr. Sikri. I stand here and I say thank you for the good work done to Ghanaians. Idrisu in Tamale says so. Bismarck at Pusika Kusagu says, can't we do something about the many public holidays and vacations? Extension of closing time is just like adding more TZ without adding soup. Why are you wetting mine? Tibayanga Bismarck at Pusika sent in that one. The NPP should ask NDC and learn a lesson. If you bend down to look at someone's anus, someone is also looking at yours. Taro Azingu from Nkwanta North Volta region. What is the Minister of Education also doing about the TV content our children watch every day? Is it not affecting the quality of education too? Efu Senyo in Elmina. There is an adage that too much of everything is bad. It is not about extension of time, but improving the teacher quality in our education system, not forgetting about effective monitoring and supervision. Learning for too long a time a day create boredom. I do not subscribe to the said decision. Aidan Mohammed Abdul Latif in Tamale sent in that one. And unfortunately, our time is up. My producers have been Asibi Bangu Ikela, Seth Eya, John Pobi, Sewell, Nanama, Ajikun.